to sing one more song?
When the cry is made at the midnight hour.
Amen. Amen.
Be ready, Lord.
When the cry is
made. Hallelujah.
Why don't you start it? Amen. Hallelujah.
The cry is made at the midnight hour. We will be ready, Lord. When the bridegroom comes looking for his bride, we will be.
Worship the Lord. Amen. I mean, if we're going to be ready, I don't know if you're ready sitting down. Amen. So if we could stand, let's sing.
Amen.
When the cry is made at the midnight hour, we will be.
Of Jesus.
Father, we do want to be ready.
Amen.
For your coming is even at the door.
Amen.
And Father, we want to open our hearts before you tonight. We pray that you would give us strength to receive your life and your presence and your anointing to break every yoke in this place. Father, we know that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are here in the midst.
Yes.
We thank you for your presence, Amen. Your power and your authority, which every devil and demon on hell must bow before the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. We commit this night into your hands. We pray that your will would be worked in all of our lives, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We still need a few more amens, hey?
Amen.
Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Boy, we're going to have to work on it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, it is good to be here. It is good to be in the presence of the Lord. It is good to be among my fellow brethren, my fellow soldiers. Sometimes we may not feel like soldiers, but once you've been called to battle, whether you want it or not, or whether you want that title or not, you are still a soldier. Praise the Lord. If you could turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 14. Before we read, how many of you are being stirred to do something about your walk with God? Huh? How many of you are being challenged, convicted? Huh? Praise the Lord. Well, you know, that conviction comes by the Holy Spirit. And I do believe that God is wanting us to be prepared. I know I need to be prepared. And I believe you do too. All right, starting in verse 14, Paul is writing here and he says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What I want to talk to you tonight about is the rightly dividing of the word of truth. Now, if you would look at this word here where it says study to show thyself approved, do you know that that word means to use speed? It means to make effort, a diligence, to hasten or to exert oneself. So if you would take that word study and you put the Greek definition for that, you could say it says, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God. You could also say, to exert yourself to show yourself approved unto God. Or that endeavor to show yourself approved unto God. You know, when we look at that, and if you look at the English word study, you would think, well, you sit down and you study the Word of God, right? Huh? You would think that, but when you look into the Greek, it's talking about an active participation on your part that makes you approved before God. Hallelujah. How many of us want to be approved before God?
Amen.
Huh? I only saw half your hands. My goodness. We're in a gathering of brethren. You know, if you're not raising your hand, you should be up here repenting. Raise your hands if you want to show yourself approved unto God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I want to share something with you, and I'm just going to go by what I do. You know, I find out that if I sit down and write all these scripture verses out, I'm not a teacher of the Word of God. And I find out that I stumble through because that's not the gifting I have. But there are certain things that God has put on my heart that I can't erase. It's been there from the day I was born again. It was the day after I was born again, and as I walked with God, and as God's Spirit was speaking with me, and my spirit was communing to Him, that was bringing a reality of who and what God is. Well, I want to share something with you, and it's a dream that I had pertaining to the scripture verse. One day, I was at my workplace. This was, I think I must have had it maybe about 14, 15 years ago. I was at my workplace, and I was walking with a couple of my coworkers. And as I was walking with my coworkers, I realized that I was enrolled in a great university. I had forgot about that I was enrolled in a great university. I always thought I was just doing my everyday task, you know, as a mail carrier. And all of a sudden, oh, I'm enrolled there. And so I hurried to my classes, and lo and behold, in the midst of the classes, it was now midterm test. Oh, you know? So I rush into the classroom, and now I'm worried, you know? One, I forgot, you know, I was enrolled in this great university. Two, I had not done my studying. Huh? How would you feel, Sister Lucy? You'd feel pretty bad, you know? So I get into the classroom, and all of a sudden it lays out, and it was a history exam. And I went, you know, I majored in history, you know, when I was going to school. I thought, oh, no problem. I know my history. So they put a map down in front of me, and you were supposed to fill in the blanks. And as I looked at it, I couldn't remember anything that was on the page. Nothing on the test. I thought I could, what would you call it? Well, not ace it, but sort of. What did you say? Just sort of get past it, you know. If I could just get back and pass it, oh, I made it, you know, just on my own strength. But I didn't have any strength. And when I was shocked, there was the test in front of me. There was nothing there from out of me. And all of a sudden, as I came up out of the dream, the word says, study to show yourself approved. A workman, what does it say? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know, sometimes I get dreams. I know they're for the people of God, but I also know they're for me. So I was very, you know, sometimes when you're a recipient of this, it's like you ever get to where God is wanting to correct you and you feel so ashamed. You feel almost like renting your clothes, you know. And this is how I came up out of the dream. And I believe that there is something when you look at this word where it says study to show yourself approved. It's a diligence. It's a diligence that we need to have in our walk and our relationship with God. Amen. And sometimes we just go along in our day-to-day things. So many things in our life crowds into our being, doesn't it? Circumstances, going about daily activities of life that want to crowd out that relationship with God or that sense that we should have of walking very, very close with Him. Hallelujah. Unless maybe all of you are overcoming and you don't have that problem. Huh? Everybody's quiet. Hallelujah. I believe that we are living in the end time. I believe that Jesus is going to have a people that are going to rise at midnight and will meet Him, as the song we sang. Amen? But the determination of if we're to be that people is dependent upon us. Hallelujah. And it is dependent upon the diligence that we have in walking in the Word that has been given to us. Now, if you go back up to verse 14, there was something I noticed here. It says, of these things, put them in remembrance. Well, I could say, put me in remembrance. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Now, what do you think that means? Words to no profit. Huh? Well, what comes to me is there are many words that is going forth. There are many movements that believe that they are on the cutting edge of God. But what was the word that God has delivered unto you? You know, someone erased this, thank you. As we look at the tabernacle. Amen. Don't we love the teachings of the tabernacle? Huh? Just one amen?
Amen.
Huh? Praise the Lord. I think many of us have been teethed on the tabernacle.
Oh, yeah.
And we are just scratching the surface of the understanding of what the tabernacle is. When we look at this whole picture of the tabernacle, oh, thank you, sweetheart, I appreciate that. You are looking at a picture of the church. The church.
Amen.
You know, God is so good because He shows us things in very simplistic things, but yet there's very deep truth in it. What makes the church? What makes the church? What makes you and I, whether we're in here or outside of here?
Born again.
But we, by in being born again, we received the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that the life is in the blood.
Yes.
Even quickens us, Sandy, even when we're tired, right? The blood, huh? The blood that gives us life. Amen. Hallelujah. We need a little life. We need a little of the blood flowing here tonight. The blood is here. Blood is here. All we have to do is reach out
Amen.
By faith and receive it.
Right.
Hallelujah. How many of you here are born again?
Yeah.
I see some hands are not. If you're not born again, you need to pray. Listen to the word of God, because God wants to save you. He wants to give you His blood. So if you are diligent and you want God with all your hearts, you want to receive salvation, you need to consider it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the difference between having the blood is the reality of death versus life. Huh? We were what does it say in Ephesians? We which were once dead in sin and trespasses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now he has quickened us. Amen. So when He has quickened us with the blood, we become the property of God, or we become part of the church of God, or we come into this place, or into the entrance of the tabernacle, through the brazen altar, by the receiving of the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know, that is just the very beginning of life. Hallelujah. But that life in itself, there's no comparison. When you have the blood, there's no comparison to what you had before.
That's right.
Huh? Oh, yes. Nothing. It all erases all my past. I was saved when I was 26 years old. And everything before that, I was a sinner. I did not know Jesus. I was going along all the operations. And you know, the amazing thing was, I wasn't seeking God. I was not seeking God till the day that Christ revealed Himself to me. Now, I had a little hunger for God, but it was very little. But it was enough that in His love, what does it say in Romans? It says, not that we first loved Him, but that He first loved us. So, and it says, no man comes to the Father except for first He draws us. Hallelujah. You don't mind me talking about this, do you? A little refresher course on what God has done in your life. It's good to take account of what God has done. You know, we sing that song, Count Your Blessings. We go around and we grumble and mumble and we get all despair and everything. Think about it, what God has done just in salvation alone. He redeemed us from the power of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need life.
Hallelujah.
Life within us. Life. I'm telling you, brethren, if it was not for the life of God, I would not be here. I wouldn't be here speaking with you. I wouldn't be here fellowshipping with you. I wouldn't be conversing with you about God and being blessed as I'm hearing the Word of God. Because the blood of Jesus Christ brought a reality of His presence to me. Hallelujah. And He not only gave me of His blood, but He put in me a heart to hunger after Him, to begin to seek after Him, to just want God. Hallelujah. Well, you know, it comes back to me all my early days, Gary. All my early days of how when God came to me, all I could do was talk with Him. talk with him and he talked with me. And I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I wasn't even raised up in a place that they taught the Word of God outside of the Catholic Church that would give a little bit of a paragraph on Sundays when I was there, which I wasn't. Brought a little paragraph of the gospel, or they'd bring a little paragraph of the epistles. That was all that we had. Hallelujah. And it did not speak anything of salvation. But when the life of God came, all I wanted was God. And I found out He had to put that hunger in me. But in that hunger and expectation, as I began to walk with Him and He walked with me, He began to reveal His Son in me. He began to put me among brethren and He began to teach me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of us believe that we are living in the last church age?
Amen.
That we're living in the Laodicean church age?
Amen.
And you know, when I got saved, I met some wonderful brethren. Wonderful brethren that loved the Lord. But they were all in different denominations. I didn't know they were denominations at that time. But they were in different movements. One of them was that was very great in 1980 was the faith movement. Oh, everybody, well, you'd go to the bookstore and it was filled with the power of faith. And Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Hopeland and Charles Kapp. And oh, people were excited, moving in faith. And, you know, faith, 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 you know. Well, I didn't hear anything else, you know, so I started reading a little bit of it. But, you know, God did not have me in there. And then God began to take me from that over to meeting brethren that were in the Baptist churches and also in the Pentecostal churches. And again, I met wonderful people and I began to hear some things, not many things, thank God, because I wasn't being given the opportunity, or God did not allow that for me to come in and to be taught erroneous doctrines like the rapture. So in just a span of 3 months, I was saved in June 27th, 1980, and sometime in September, someone put the book, The Pattern, into my hands. Hallelujah. Didn't know much about anything. In fact, I got filled with the Holy Spirit a month, 6 weeks later, up in my bedroom. Didn't know anything except for someone said about the Holy Spirit, and I asked the Lord. I said, I'd never heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and especially I didn't hear of tongues, but and some say it's of the devil, and some say it's God. I said, all I know is God, I want you. And if it is of you, then, and if speaking of the tongues is of you, then I want whatever you want to give me. And as I said that day in my bedroom, and I opened my heart, the Spirit of God came down, filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know much about the Holy Spirit, Sister Carol. I didn't know much about all, but I found out later as I would read the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is to lead me and to guide me into all truth.
Yes,
and so as the Spirit of God was leading and guiding me more than what I realized, He was starting to bring, and He was not only bringing me to a people that had a certain relationship with God, but what I would say, a deeper walk with God. And there was something that God was doing inside of me that wanted a deeper walk. Hallelujah. Didn't understand very much, but I wanted to read the Word of God. And as I began to, God began to bring the pattern and an understanding of the tabernacle, and He began to also bring to us people that believed that word, that we began to fellowship. I can't tell you the difference that there was. Not that they weren't my brethren, the people in these various denominations, and good brethren that loved Jesus. But yet, they were, I found out later, that some of them who I had met were already given this opportunity of this message, and they didn't want it. Hallelujah. They didn't want it. When we look at here, and I think most everybody here has the teachings on the tabernacle. You have the outer court, you have the holy place, and you have the Holy of Holies. And that the church is in three parts. There's an outer court church, there's a holy place church, and there's a church that is called to be in the Holy of Holies. Amen? And this is the word I want to talk to you tonight. This is the word I want to encourage you tonight. Because what is the word that God has brought to you? Has God brought you the word of faith? Huh? Now when I say faith, I'm talking to the faith movement.
No.
Has he brought you a word that would speak of just the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know, Pentecostal churches, they preach about the Holy Spirit, but they don't have the totality of the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by the totality of the Holy Spirit, their understanding is that they do not understand that there's a third baptism. Hallelujah. Not only water baptism, which a lot of outer court churches participate in, right? And a lot of outer court churches a percentage of them will speak of the Holy Spirit, right? But how many churches do you know speak of the baptism into Christ? Huh? Very few. Very few, if any. I don't know too many. Hallelujah. Which brings me to another thing which I challenge you tonight. What word has God brought you to? What word has God brought you? Hallelujah. You know, the pattern, the book, The Pattern, is just an expression of the Word of God that is God is bringing to a people of the end time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Talking about an apostolic word that has been given to us. We're supposed to make our foundation sure. Amen? And if you get tired, if you need to stand up, don't be embarrassed. Hallelujah. We don't want to lay hands on anybody if they fall over. And I don't think I'm going till midnight. Hallelujah. We have been given an apostolic word, but do you know it is a foundational word?
Amen.
Huh? Why do I say it's a foundational word? Because the word teaches us that it says, Ephesians about it being built on the foundation of what? The apostles and the prophets. You can meet many people that are born again that do not even believe in the fivefold ministry. Oh yeah, they look at you and they think you're a cult. They think, oh yes, you know, prominent teachings that will go over the radio and say, oh yes, well, the last apostles died with John. Huh? No more apostles. And no more prophets. Forget that. Where do you think you would be without that foundation in your life about the fivefold ministry? Think about it. How many of you have received a direct prophetic words in your lifetime? And I'm sure a number of you have. Raise your hands. Huh? A number of us. And do you know what? It does not come from man if it is a God-appointed prophetic ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are so many things, brethren, in which you and I have such a sure foundation. But you know, we got to think about that. You know, it says, put you into remembrance of these things. Put them in remembrance. Hallelujah. How many of you have had personal blessings, or I should say, been a recipient of Brother Tommy Cook's ministry? Now, I think that everyone that raised their hand would say unequivocally that this brother was a God-appointed teacher in the Word of God, wasn't he?
Amen.
Huh? But he also had a gift of prophetic ministering as well. Hallelujah. And I stand up here, I remember my days, the early days, and I should say, when I say I could say it for George and Jill. Well, Barry can stay. Stacy was little. She was 6 years old when we got saved. And she got saved 6 weeks after we got saved. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't be so happy about it. I'm very happy about it. Hallelujah. My six-year-old daughter that used to watch me smoke pot. Come on. Oh, yeah. That was 34 years ago. Come on. I was a wicked person. God redeemed, not only redeemed me and my wife, redeemed my daughter.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know what she said after we got saved? She goes, Daddy and Mommy, I just didn't like it when you were doing those things.
Amen.
A child would speak the truth.
Praise the
Lord. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we're talking about God's life, His presence, and this word that God has brought you and I to. What do you think is going to keep us at midnight? Are we going to be able to be kept by our own physical strength?
No, sir.
By our own understanding?
No.
Oh, no. It's going to be the word that God has given you, that He has equipped you. Okay, going back to, I was talking about different ministries, prophetic ministries in your life. I have a prophecy from 1987 that was given to me. I still bring that up, or God helps bring that up to me many, many times. He said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And I was like, when that was given to me, 1987, I was just like Gideon was, hiding behind the wine press. Was it the wine press? What was it? Yeah. I was hiding. I you couldn't get me up to something like this for all the money in the world. Oh, no. You know, God has something in our lives far beyond what we could even ask or think. In fact, if we really knew, we'd probably run from it. Because God has designed that we would walk with Him and that He might be an expression through us. Hallelujah. So, we're talking about a foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We can add, when we talk about fivefold ministry, let's talk about true fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds. Hallelujah. God appointed.
Amen.
Come on, brethren.
Amen.
God appointed.
Yes.
When you look out here, and you could probably say out here, there's a lot of churches that aren't even saved, and people in churches, and they got people that are leading them that are blind. It's the blind leading the blind. Because they go to Bible school, or they go and they're taught, and then they teach the very things that they were taught, and they've never heard from God themselves. It becomes something of rote. It becomes something, well, this is what I learned, and this is what I give. Now, can God get yardage out of it? Yes, He can. Because if someone's seeking truth, God will save that individual. God will use any means to save an individual. It does not necessarily mean or gives a stamp of approval that that is the perfect will of God. God is in the saving business.
Amen?
Amen. And so, do you know, I found something out. Well, I always knew it. But there's something I want to say to you. Do you know, when we talk of divine order in the church, first of all, divine order is Christ is our head.
Yes, right.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
Do we want Christ to be head in here?
Yes.
Do we want Christ to be the one that is leading us and guiding us?
Yes.
Yes. And that's the way it should be. We should be submitting ourselves and being led of His Spirit. There was this, someone had quoted it earlier in this conference, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, there are two other things that the Lord showed me, or I should say, in which He's wanting me to share. One is, a part of divine order is fivefold ministry.
Yes. Amen.
I was sharing that in Dubuque last weekend. I have a Bible that's 32 years old. In fact, my pages are falling out. My wife gave me this as a replacement a number of years ago. But my pages that are mostly falling out is Hebrews and the book of Ephesians.
Yeah.
And the one that's most worn out is chapter 4 of Ephesians.
Right.
Come on now, brethren.
Yes.
You know, some say, well, you're lifting up ministry. Well, someone could say I'm lifting up ministry, but to tell you the truth, I am just wanting to give what I have been a recipient of.
Yes.
Amen.
Because as for the 30 or whatever years that Brother Cecil's ministry has been in our lives, and the various meetings that I've been in, I must have been to that page hundreds of times in various meetings that he would take us to Ephesians chapter 4. Do you ever wonder why it has been gone over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I could say over and over and over for quite a while yet, right? Did you ever wonder why? Because we are coming to the midnight hour where we are going to be face to face with the Antichrist system and the Antichrist spirit. And we have to know the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you go into the book of Revelation and you read the letter to the seven churches, you read about the one church where God commended them because it says that they tried certain ones and found them to be what? False apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you think it's going to be the world that will be coming after us, or do you think it's going to be the religious system? It's a religious system. Because if you go to Matthew 24, you see that it says, and then they will take you before magistrates, your brother will, thinking they're doing what? God a service. Hallelujah. So I think we can say, we can agree that that fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4 is divine order, right?
Amen.
Four or five amens? Come on.
Amen.
If you believe it, say it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There's another thing that is divine order, and that is a plurality of eldership.
Amen.
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 That's another thing. I think that has been rehearsed in us over and over and over and over and over again, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Why would we need to have it over and over and over and over again? There's something in the spirit that God wants to bring within us. You know, remember, we have been hearing, God has been speaking about getting rid of the darkness outside of us, right? And when we look at the false church system, or when you look at the Nicolaitan hierarchy that the Word says that God hates, it's to teach us, to give us an understanding. Now, you have to, it's not only just learning the doctrine, it's beginning to move and into that order and into that function. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because every person that is desiring God can fall prey to deception. You could be in a place to where you're an elder, but you could act like a pastor.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
Just four amens. Yes? Huh? Any of you ever tried to help God? Like Uzzah trying to steady the ark? Huh? Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. There are things that I meditate on a lot, and I say, God, why did you bring all these things? And I mean, these are just a few of the things. When we talk about our relationships, brother to brother, husband and wife relationships, things that God has come into our midst and began to speak truth through the ministry, and it's all designed to prepare us for the midnight hour.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How many people are under stress right now? Are having any stress in your life? Come on. Huh? No, or some of you that aren't raising your hand, no problems, right? No, everything's going smooth, right? I need Jesus now more than ever.
Amen.
I need Jesus now more than ever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No stress, boy. Well, there's a scripture verse. I believe, is it in Proverbs 24? Let me turn there. I think it's Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Maybe it's not 24. It says that if we faint in the day of adversity, what is it?
Verse 10
of 24?
Right.
Okay, good. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity. If you look that word adversity up, it talks about trials, but it also says tribulation. So, if we faint, how many of you ever gotten weary or tired in the battle? Oh, yeah. We've seen it all around, haven't we? But the Word says that if we faint in the day of adversity, what? It says, thy strength is small. That's scary, isn't it? Do you ever find out you don't know what's in you until you get applied the right thing? And then you find out how much you really you have? Huh? We used to live in a farm in Wisconsin. And someone gave us this wonderful dog. Oh boy. I wasn't a dog lover anyway. But they gave us this dog that had mental problems. It did. It was crazy. Our kids were small. Nobody wanted to go near it. In fact, they chained it up because it would jump on everybody. Jump, 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 jump. My parents would come to the door, come out to the farm, honk the horn, put the dog away, put the dog away. So we'd have it chained up. We would go to feed it. We'd send the kids out. They'd go out and they'd just put it right next to the edge of the chain line, you know. Well, that dog brought out the worst in me one day. He kept jumping on me. You know, when someone said, you know, if a dog jumps on you, just knead the dog, you know. Knead it, you know. Get down, you know. Well, that dog didn't heed. And all of a sudden, a spirit of anger. And I took it out on the dog. And you know, nobody was there to see me but God. I felt that big. I thought, oh my God. Here I am, a man of God, and a dog got the best of me. And I realized there was darkness in me that caused something to come out of me I didn't think I had. Now I was saved 7 years already, and I thought I was, you know, I thought I had things under control. All it took was just that right moment, and I believe God allowed it to show me that I still had a lot more work to do in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there are things inside of us we really don't know. But unless we're diligent to allow God, the working of the Holy Spirit, we won't be fit at midnight. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are things inside of us that we're being challenged on in this hour. And if we're not working on that, do you know it has a residual effect? It has a residual effect. Not only is that darkness remains in us, but it makes us prone to mistakes or the inability for us to be able to cope with the darkness around us.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Praise the Lord. Brother Bert was sharing earlier today about a dream I had. And I actually had it in February. And I believe it's a word for the church. And it was a two-part dream. The first part, I was delivering mail. I mean, many times God speaks to me about delivering mail. And it's the equating of delivering the Word of God. And I was up on Grandview Avenue in Dubuque. Grandview, in a high place. And as I was delivering these packages, there were two things to note. One, not everybody was receiving packages at every house. It was like one package to this house, maybe another four or five houses would be skipped, and then you would deliver it all. Now, as a former mail carrier, we would have mail, and we would pretty much every day you delivered mail to everybody's house. So in the dream, it was sort of an interesting thing that not everybody was getting the mail. But in the midst of it, while I was delivering the packages, a pack of mixed breed dogs came into the neighborhood. And if you ever saw a gang of them or a group of them, usually they follow what the other dogs do. But I knew at that moment I could no longer deliver mail to that route or to that part of the city. I had to go somewhere else, and I was hoping to come back later in the day or later in the night as I was dreaming to deliver those packages again. Hallelujah. How many of you know that dogs represent spirits?
Yes.
Huh? We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of wickedness in high places. Well, the scene changed, and the thing, I went from South Grandview to North Grandview, and there happened to be a meeting place on North Grandview, and people were going into this meeting, and I saw someone who moves in the prophetic ministry standing at the doorway. And as I was seeing this, it was like the next thing I knew, it was like I was before the Lord and I was talking to God. And I was talking to God as one that would be prostrate before Him. And I said, oh God, I said, what do you want to be fed to your people? And God said, He said, you need to teach my people to discern. You need to teach my people to discern. And actually, last week was the first time I had that I think it was February or March, had shared it overseas. And God burdened me again in Dubuque last weekend and here this weekend to share it again. We need to discern the Spirit. Discerning, when you look and you study it out, you can take the discerning is the ability to be able to discern between good and evil. Now, the Solomon, we all know the story of Solomon, when he was tender before God, how God viewed his attitude and his demeanor, right? And he said something, you know, God presented it before him in a dream, and he says, ask whatever you want, I will give. And he humbled himself. He says, who am I to lead such a great people as your people? He said, Lord, if you would give me wisdom. And God saw that. And he said, you know, Solomon, because, and I'm paraphrasing it, because you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for all these things, he says, I'm going to give you the wisdom, and I'm going to give you all the other things. Hallelujah. Do you ever ask for wisdom in your life?
Amen.
More than once?
Amen.
Twice?
Amen.
20, 30, 40? I've been hundreds of times. You know, when I find myself that not, you know, that everything seems wrong, I say, God, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. Help me, God. Give me your wisdom. Give me your wisdom, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it says whatever we ask in His name, He will do for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I believe we need to ask for wisdom.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
Some people ask for wisdom, but they're not in the fear of the Lord. Do you know, we need to ask God to give us a healthy fear of Him. Hallelujah. Why? Because we need to exalt Him that we would be on our knees before God. When I say on our knees, you know, it's not always just on your knees. It's in the manner of living, in the heart, the condition of the heart that we're to be in. Hallelujah. So we need that wisdom and we need discernment. Now, the other thing that when you look into Matthew 24, it talks about the elect. Barak was talking about that, the call in our lives between calling and chosen. And it talks about the elect. And it says that that if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived.
Yeah.
Huh? How many of you ever been deceived? More than once? Hallelujah. That's why we need to discern. We need to discern God. Now, when we look at what the Word says back in Timothy about rightly dividing the Word of truth, you see, we have been given something that brings a balance in our lives. Hallelujah. And that balance is not only the Word, but the Spirit. We need the Word with the Spirit. We need the Spirit with the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do you think the anointing comes? Do you think it just comes just on the Word alone? If someone got up here and began to read all of Deuteronomy, does that mean that it was anointed of God? No, it has to come by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is the Spirit that searches, looks deep into our hearts, knows what the need is. Hallelujah. I don't know what the need is here tonight, but God does. Because if you know God and you're hungry for God, do you know God wants to touch you tonight?
Yeah.
Why do you think we come to conferences?
Yeah.
We come to conferences because it is ordained of God for the people to gather themselves together.
Amen.
Read Job. It says, there came a day when the sons of God gathered themselves together before the Lord. Hallelujah. And God seeing everything. Right?
Amen.
Is that the end of the paragraph?
No.
End of the sentence? No. It says, but, what? And Satan was there also. You know, when I was a young Christian in Rockford, 82, the one question I couldn't figure out, how could Satan get up there? I thought sons of God were all those before, and they were gathered up in the heavens, and Satan walked up in the heavens with God. And I said, I just can't figure that out. I asked Brother DeSeal that week, and he goes, it's not talking there, it's talking down here. So do you know what that means? That means, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. Right?
Amen.
Come on. Do you ever have that mindset all the time? I don't think so. I don't. But we should. Now are we the sons of God. When we come in, there's a difference. God looks upon you different than He looks upon sinners. He looks upon you as sons. But the devil also looks. And he's walking up and down. Seeking what? Whom he may devour? Anybody want to be lunch for the devil? Anybody ever gave him lunch? Come on, brethren. You've let him bite off of you? Chew on you? Hallelujah. We have to be a discerning people. And the reason why we need to be discerning is because it's getting darker and darker and closer to midnight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we need to be able to discern the Spirit of God in our midst. We have to discern when someone gets up and ministers, are they moving by the Spirit of God? You know, some of our foundation, and I'm assuming that you have a similar foundation to I have, was taught many things on to be able to discern the person up ministering the Word of God. When we were in Rockford in 82, I remember Brother DeSeal was saying, you know, when someone gets up and they're not moving in the Spirit of God, you should pray. Just pray. And God will turn the thing around. Or God will give wisdom of how to handle the situation. Do you know we need to be able to discern, to understand whether the food that is coming forth from the podium is good food?
Amen.
Weren't we taught to chew the cud? Huh? Now, if you first start to taste, now come on, everybody, if you're tasting in the natural and you taste something and you know that it's not good, what are you supposed to do? Spit it out of your mouth, huh? You don't want to take in something that's bad. Hallelujah. But there are things that the church needs to come up higher. Hallelujah. I know certain circumstances and situations that we have been put to a test as a people, and sometimes we have failed. And Skyler here, most of all, remembers that, don't you? In 1990, when the looters came. Hallelujah. Of course, I think I should apologize. We were the ones that brought the looters from Dubuque, so hallelujah. Oh, we were tested in Dubuque. Oh, yes. We were there. There was a spirit that was with them that was ministering, and it took a while, and we didn't know the full extent until it did its full damage when it came out to Skyler, right? Huh? And I remember the letter Brother DeSeal wrote. He says, God has given you a test. He goes, and many of you have failed. I looked at that letter. I felt like a little school kid. I got an F on my report. I really did. I thought, you know, I was taken by the Spirit. You know, we started having some checks in our midst, and it got to a certain point where there was a great concern. But, you know, it was a lesson for me. It was a lesson to discern the Spirit of God in our midst. Now, here we were. Now, this is 24 years ago. It was in 1990. I remember that. Here we were. We were functioning as a fellowship for almost 10 years. And we thought that we had a certain amount of discernment. We found out we didn't have all that we really thought that we had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was sharing in Dubuque last week about a situation about a place which I didn't name names then. I won't name names now. But we were in a meeting that we were corporately gathered to in the 1980s. And there was something that happened in our midst. And out of the 50 people, we had people that were part of the fivefold ministry. We had they were almost exclusively elders, mothers of the church that were there. And there was a situation that was happening that a man began to move in a certain spirit. And another man had come into our congregation that the rest of us, none of us even knew. And he picked up on the spirit. And he began to minister something to the man to get the man to repent, and he wouldn't. And do you know what happened? As the man exhorted him, he says, and the man started to get very upset with the man that was starting to say, "Brother, you have something wrong." And he says, and the brother said, "You know, if you could step outside, I don't want to say it in front of everybody." He goes, No, you say it." And finally he came out and he said, "Brother, you have a religious spirit. And I tell you what, do you know what happened? The whole place went into uproar because a lot of the people were friends with that brother. And they rose up and one person rose up. I don't think that you have the religious spirit. He has a religious spirit. I believe you have the religious spirit." And other people rushed over to the one and said, no. And I'm telling you something. That day, there was not a discernment of spirits in the midst. And we were supposed to be the end time people. Hallelujah. Out of 50 people, I would say there were 7 or 8 in that room because of knowledge of the circumstances, situations, that knew that what the man was saying was correct. And I could probably say that half of those people don't even know whatever happened that day. Now, that's scary, isn't it? Huh? For us, that if we are an end time people and we believe that we have the spirit of discernment and we cannot discern between the voice of God and the voice of the enemy? Hallelujah. So when God comes to us and he says, "Teach my people to discern," that means that God is saying, we need to come up higher. We're not where we think we are. Hallelujah. Or I should say, I'm not where I should be. Hallelujah. And that's scary. Because see, we are looking at this church, and if you look into Revelation 11 and 12. Let's go back to your history before I say that. Not only has God laid onto us a foundation in the Word of God, but God has also given to us what His plan is for midnight. Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Huh? What's happening at midnight? Bridegroom's coming, but where is He coming?
Within
us. Huh? That there is a secret coming of Christ and we are to prepare ourselves.
Amen.
5 wise, 5 foolish. How many of us want to be foolish? Don't see a single hand raised. Thank God. All right? But there's something we need to do to be wise.
Yes.
What is the wisdom? Getting oil in our vessel, which is it is our soul. Getting oil, getting the Holy Ghost into our thinking, getting the Holy Ghost into our emotions, getting the Holy Ghost into our desires and in our will to become like Him. Hallelujah. And not only that, when we look into Revelation 11 and in Revelation 12, we see that God is going to have a 2-witness company, a first fruit company, a Gideon's company. Huh? We can go on and on, 144,000 man-child. And when you read that, what do you think we're working for? And when I say working for, what do you think we are investing in the Spirit? Gary, you believe in the man-child, right? Would you feel bad if you were that woman church that was to bring forth a man-child and you found out the man-child came and you did not were part of that man-child? That would be a disappointment, wouldn't it? Huh? How about you, David? Huh? I could go on. I would be very disappointed. You know what it is? It's almost a it's a great sorry state if you're part of the woman church that ends up having to go in the wilderness, and who you were designed to be, a part of that first fruit company, now you're being fed by the very persons that you were part of, supposed to be a part of. Did that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, and you go into Revelation 11, and you go into Revelation 12. And I'm going to share something else with you. There's many people out there that have a revelation of the end time. But you know, just because they have a intellectual thought pattern of the end time doesn't mean that they are part of that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Back in the 80s, there used to be, when we started learning tabernacle teachings, we met a lot of other groups that were moving in tabernacle teachings. And I remember someone coming back, I won't say who the names of it is, but they came back with these people that were moving, and they had stacks of all these teachings, and you'd read the books. And as I'd read it, it was almost like, you know, it was so wordy, I didn't get no life out of it. But there was something that was wrong with the groups. You know, they ended up going into ultimate reconciliation.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You look at the story of Samson, and you read about this Samson and about the riddle. You know, I go over that a lot, and I look at it. You know, a lot of people want what God has given in the apostolic word to a people. But you're not going to get it just by getting that information. You have to get it because the Spirit of God is giving it to you and giving you the opportunity for you to take it in and begin to assimilate it into your soul by the Holy Spirit to change you. Hallelujah. It's not going to be because you have the knowledge or that you tried to get the message the other way. And you have to be able to also discern who is coming in the name of the Lord and who's not coming in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You cannot go by the hearing of the ears or by what you see. You have to go by what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Hallelujah. There is something that we need to cry out to God because it says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Right? And that's the safeguard. One of the things that have been taught to us as a people was the promise of God. What? That He's going to walk in us. He's going to talk in us. Huh? This is the reality of what we have cried out for, is that the life of God, that the Holy Spirit within us is wanting to write Himself on our mind, in our inward parts, so that we know Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know Him as I should yet, but I want to.
Amen.
You know, I was waiting back when I first got saved. I was 27 years old, and I look back and I go, man, I wish I was saved when I was 16. I had a lot of garbage. And I thought Jesus was coming when I was 28 and 29. Well, that was 31 years ago. But do you know what? I am still wanting and looking, and I don't want to give up. I do not want to relax and say, oh, well, if He didn't come for 30 years, He's not going to come for another 30 years. Hallelujah. I had a brother one time who said to me, you know, he was out doing everything, and he said one time, he goes, you know, if I knew Jesus was coming in 6 months, I'd probably be more diligent. I've heard it more than once. Not only that, I've heard it through other people. And I go, oh God, I don't want to think that way. Why? You don't know when your day is up. You don't know what day your day is up. You know, just because that when Jesus comes at midnight, only those people that are alive that are going to go in is going to be the only first fruit company? No. There has been a first fruit company from generation to generation. Paul was part of that first fruit company, but he was born out of due time, he said. He longed to be in the time that we are in. Hallelujah. But what if our life is required us tomorrow or next week? How diligent are you? Huh? How diligent are we before God? Or are we still fighting the same windmills all the time? Are we still fighting those things in our lives that always hold us bound? It's time that we say, God,
amen.
God, you need to do something to me. You need to change me. You need to deliver me. Hallelujah. When we get our act together, and we go to God and we say, God, you need to fix me. This is wrong in my life. That's when God moves, Jim.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I used to be bound with a certain familiar spirit, and God gave me a revelation one time. The reason why I wasn't getting delivered was because I was wanting it more than I hated it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. I would say I hate it, but, you know, I wasn't wanting to let go of it. Well, if I don't leave go of it, how am I going to get rid of it?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
You don't think God wants to deliver us? Oh, yes, He does. He loves us. He wants to deliver us out of every besetting sin. Why? Because the Word says so. It says that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. So this word, brethren, that we have been delivered to, has the power and the authority to change us. Hallelujah. Don't leave go of it. Let me tell you something. Back in the early 80s, we went through a lot of upheaval in Dubuque in our fellowship. People were coming and going. And, you know, when you're a young Christian, your head's swimming a lot, you know. And I would talk to God a lot. And one day I was saying to Him, I said, God, I said, all these people have left. I go, they had problems, but I got problems. You know, I was weighing it out. I said, God, I'm no better than them. And I said to God, what? Why? Why am I still standing here? Why am I here after 7 years and through all that has happened? Why am I still standing? And these people have come and gone. And God said something so simple to me, but yet so profound. He says, it is my word that has kept you. Oh, it's my word that has kept you. You know, I thank God for my job at the post office, because I could deliver mail and meditate on the Lord at the same time. And I would think about it. Yeah, your word has kept me. Your word has kept me. Your word has kept me. Ah, your word has kept me. What is His word? It was the apostolic word that was delivered to me. It was the word of the end time. It was something that was there that had changed me from being just an outer court Christian. Huh? Being a partly made Christian, but giving me an opportunity to come into a place of sonship with Him, into a place that He would walk in me and talk in me, and that I would be able to be part of that first fruit company, that at midnight when He comes, I'm part of that. Hallelujah. That's the word. That's the word. That's the word that God has given you. Hallelujah. Why is it that we, Carol, why do we have a certain ear to sit here and listen to what we're hearing and still stay sitting? You know, if you had a lot of people that would come in here after the delivery of the word, it would willow down. Whittle down. Just, you know, come on. What is it? That means that God's done something to each of you. Sister Comfort. Huh? You got a gold earring on, right? Right? You know, it's good. All right, good. You know, God gave me a dream. And I like to share these because they've been something life to me, and I believe they're life for you.
Amen.
Well, in this dream, I was seeing, and Brother DeSeal came with a brown paper bag. And in the paper bag, he had golden earrings. And he would come up, and he would put, let's see, that's your right there. He'd take a golden earring, and he'd put it on the people's ear. And once the golden earring was there, you could hear.
Amen.
You could hear in the spirit. And as I was watching, it was exciting. But then, you know what was so sad? I saw one person take it off, look and go, I'm not hearing anything. Put it back in. They didn't want to hear. Hallelujah. There's something special for all of us that we fail, or I should say I fail, to always keep that in remembrance. Back in 1982, when God had first formed our fellowship and we had been going and ministry had started coming in, God sent Brother DeSeal in our midst. And we had we decided to call a meeting at the Labor Temple in Dubuque. It's out on Garfield Avenue. And we called in all the cross-section of Christianity in Dubuque. It's not very big when Dubuque is 87% Roman Catholic. But nevertheless, we had people that came from the various Lutheran churches and people that were born again that were in all these different little fellowships. And we were excited because here we had this brother, Brother Duciel, coming. And so we had three meetings. Three meetings. The first meeting, I remember this, there was three people that came in. They were an elderly couple and a man. And they were probably what you would call those that were in the Christian realm in Dubuque for a very long time, back from the 30s and 40s. They came in, they had their canes on, and they were excited. They wanted to see something. Well, Brother Duciel ministered on the tabernacle that night, and they walked out very discouraged. They said, and I heard them. I was in the back of the room, and I heard them mumble and complain as they walked out of that room. They said, we didn't see no miracles. We didn't see anything special. They didn't come back. So the next day, we had two more meetings. And in the meetings, well, the one thing that I saw, I was excited. I thought everybody could hear what I could hear. And we invited my family, my sisters, and as I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, because I've heard the word, and I'm listening to the word, but I'm looking to see their reaction. And I see people disinterested, and you know, by the time that whole weekend was up, it was just our fellowship. It was just our fellowship. There was only 10, but we started out with 100 or so. I don't know how many. But you know what was amazing that day, and I'll tell you what those people missed that night before, was that we had a dinner in between, and so the sisters were preparing food. And we were moving it from the kitchen to the back of the room, and my wife was carrying a crock pot filled with hot liquid. I mean, just boiling, because it had come off of being high for 3 hours in the crock pot. And something happened in the crowd, and the crock pot tipped, and all the liquid went on her arm and on her skirt. And I was up in the front, but for some reason, Brother Duciel was back right where it happened. And he rushed, because there were so many people there, but he ran over, he grabbed Sue's hand, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, and you will not scar. And so Sue asked me, she said, well, why don't you, we live just a mile away. She said, take me home so I can change my clothes. I got it all over me and everything. And so we rushed back to our home up on Angela Street, and she comes out and she says, George, look, there's nothing here. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. It was a miracle that day.
Amen.
It was a miracle that day. But these people were wanting to follow signs and miracles. They didn't read the full word that says, these things will follow those who believe. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, these things are they're called waymarks. Do you know waymark is in the Bible? It's in Jeremiah. Let's look at that. I think we need to be in remembrance of the waymarks in our lives. Huh? No, it's waymarks. It's in Jeremiah 31, the same chapter of the promise that God will walk in us and talk in us. Jeremiah 31. Let's see. It is, it's in verse 21. And here Jeremiah is talking to Israel and saying how Israel had been called. He says this in verse 20, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Verse 21 says, set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin Israel, turn again to these thy cities. Set up waymarks. They're a place that you remember. They are things that when trouble is near, you can remember. Oh God, I remember what thou hast done. Huh? Deliver me, O God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We need, huh?
Amen.
We need to discern the Spirit of God. We do not want to be in a place of deception.
Amen.
Huh? Huh? It says many false Christs. Where is it? Let's read that. Let me go through that verse in Matthew. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Matthew 24 says in 24:24, it says, "For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." Brethren, we got to be ready. Midnight's coming. Do you have the strength to be able to withstand what is to come? That's a question mark. Do you have the strength right now? If you don't, we need to pray. We need to ask God, "God, I want to be ready." Hallelujah. I don't want to miss out. Do you, brethren? Hallelujah. I don't want to miss out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep the way marks, brethren. Remember, I think it's what Abraham says, remember the place that you have been hewn from. I think it's in Isaiah. Remember your heritage.
Amen.
We're living in an hour. We need to cry out to God. We need to discern the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody want to make a decision tonight to ask God? Do you have something, Brother Mark?
Yeah, we need to pray for the fellowship here.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Brethren, we have an opportunity tonight. We have an opportunity tonight to lift up this local fellowship. And it is such a blessing to see that almost all, at least the ones that I know that belong to this fellowship, are here tonight. I believe you're still here. And I wonder if we could just lift up this local fellowship. Would you all come up here? We'll make room for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Just let the brethren come up here with us as well, the ministry brethren. And let's just remember your wives, your children. Come on, your children too. Brother, sister, if you live in Nebraska, come up here. Or if you live anywhere close to Nebraska.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We got room to get everybody up here. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
I want the other brethren to come here with us too.
Amen.
Let's bring our wives here too. Rita and Nancy. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on over here with me, brethren. Come on over, Rita. Amen. We're praying for a whole family here together. Amen. I brought my Bible. Why don't you hold this for me, brother? I came up here before the meeting, and I just kind of laid down on the back bench there for a minute. I thought, well, I'm just going to relax for a minute. And when I laid down there, this verse came to me. And I thought, yes, this is not for Peter. This is for this fellowship. And we got in the room with the elders. And to my surprise, Gary Sunmore said the same thing. And I said, yes, that's what God's been speaking. I'm going to read you this verse. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Skyler, Skyler, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." What that means, when thou art converted, when thou art turned again, strengthen those that have turned away. Amen. And those that are in danger of turning. You know, God has established this fellowship.
Amen.
God has established this
Amen.
People. And Satan hates that.
Yes.
Satan hates the unity of the brethren here. And he has used every trick in his book to try to destroy this fellowship.
Amen.
But he is not going to succeed.
Amen.
Do you agree with me?
Amen.
Do I hear amens?
Amen.
The young people, are you in agreement? You are part of this people. Amen. It doesn't matter how old you are. Brother and sister, I'm glad you're here tonight. Anita was here earlier. She belongs here too. Did she go?
Yeah.
She probably had to leave. She's part of this too. Is there anybody else missing?
Fern.
Sister Fern, yeah. And others, they're a little ways away, but we're going to include them in this
yes.
prayer too.
Yes.
Amen. Discouraged maybe. Lord, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. This is a house. This is a family. My God, this is a people called out. Called out of darkness. Called out of the world. This is a people selected out of the called people. Chosen, Lord. Chosen by the Holy Spirit to be a witness in this place, in this land, in this state. Amen. In this region, my God, this is a people that have been called out. Satan has come against them sorely. My God. But Lord, I hear your word that you have prayed for them. And Lord, today we are praying for this people. I pray you send your word into their heart. Send encouragement where there has been discouragement. Where there has been sadness, send joy and thanksgiving and praise again. Where there has been strife, schism, Lord, I pray you send a spirit of oneness again among them, Lord. Hallelujah. We rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord rebuke your works in the name of Jesus. You are driven out of this land. You are driven out of this place in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shakadarabasha manite alabai. Shandaralaka paya taradipa shamanias. Hallelujah.
Father, there is a calling and election upon each of our brethren here in Schuyler. Father, we pray that they be strengthened by your might in their inner man, Lord, that they may know the hope of their calling, O God. Father, break asunder every band of wickedness that has come against them. Father, let them set their hearts like flint to you, God. May they rise above. And Father, take possession of their lands, Lord, so that the enemy, the thief, cannot come in to completely destroy this work. But we pray for them. We pray for the elders here.
Mighty God.
We pray for Bob. We pray for Gordon. We pray for their wives. We pray for the mothers of the church here. Hallelujah. We pray that they wax strong, that they would not give up, that they would not falter in the midst of the battle, Lord. But yea, Lord, that they would have on the full armor of God to do battle in the evil day, doing all to stand. So God, we pray that you equip them. We pray that you give them not only your unction and your authority, but also your discernment. Lord, that they might discern between good and evil, that they choose the good and refuse the evil, God. We bless them today. We bless the children here, God. We bless each one, Lord. We see how the enemy would want to come and to isolate them, to speak lies to them, to consider that they are of no worth. But Father, they are of great worth in your sight and in the midst of your people. So Father, we pray that you strengthen them now. Strengthen them in their resolve to serve you, to walk with you. And Father, Father, any sins that they have committed, forgive them. Forgive them right now, Lord, and release them, cover them, touch them with your blood, Lord. Hallelujah. Revitalize them, Lord God. In the midst of the battle, revitalize them, refresh them, so that they might, Father, stand strong, that they might overcome, Father.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for rains of refreshing.
My God, we pray for a fresh anointing upon this, your people. We pray, my God, that you would rain, hallelujah, from the heavenlies into each one of these hearts with new fresh water, my God, from thy throne. Oh, Lord, that they might be refreshed, that they might be strengthened, that they might be comforted, that they would be indeed as a tree planted by the waters. Hallelujah. And that they might minister your life and your light unto many. Father, let them be a refreshing once again to the nations, even as you have called them, my God, by thy word, and called them each one by name. Hallelujah. My God. Let them know the love that you have for them. Let them know, oh God, the encouragement that you have for them. Let them know, Father, personally, of the joy that you have for each one of them, that you saw them before you, even, and it allowed you to endure, hallelujah, the sufferings of the cross. So we pray, Father, you touch their souls, hallelujah, in a very rich and abundant and personal manner, oh God, in whatever place they are, my God, that you would walk with them, that you would talk with them, that you would minister grace, mercy, and peace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Stand steadfast and strong in the Lord. Stand on his word. Do not allow defeat or discouragement to enter in. But know that God is with you. He is faithful. He never allows any of his children to come out of the palm of his hand. So stand firm, be strong. Love. Show God's love to all. Judge not. Judge not. But reach out in love and encouragement. The Lord will strengthen. The Lord will give you the words you need. And above all, do not be discouraged. In Jesus' name.
I would like to, that those that are here, you know, you see how the word has been coming this weekend. And the word has been coming this weekend about overcoming spirits, coming into a higher realm. And even the word tonight, I believe that we need discernment in our midst. Amen. If you feel that you would want to need that prayer, if you want to stand and we can pray, I would like to pray for us according to the word that was shared tonight. Hallelujah.
I'm sorry, I forgot something. Forgive. It hurts, but you have to forgive. And do not take it personally. Do not take it personally, but love and forgive and forget the hurt.
Praise God. I want to ask, how many of you do you need discernment in your life?
Amen.
Huh? If you would, if you want to come up, I want to pray or stand in the place that you're at, but I want you to be before the Lord. Because I believe that God's word does not go out void. He wants to touch each one of us. God sees you in the midst of the battle. He wants to equip you. He wants to give you strength. And he wants to give you the ability to have wisdom and to discern. Amen. Father, we want to come before your presence tonight. Father, as we have gathered here together, Father, as the Spirit of God has moved in our midst, touching our hearts. You see what has gone through each of our hearts as we are before you, and you alone sees the desire that you're putting in your people's hearts in order that they might draw close to you, that they might have the ability to discern between good and evil. But Father, we do not want to fall prey to the enemy. Father, we do not want to be counted among the five foolish virgins. But Father, we want to be counted among the five wise. So I pray. I pray for myself. I pray for my brethren in this place. Lord, that you would give us the spirit of discernment. That you would teach us. You would lead us and teach us to discern between good and evil. That we do not go by what we hear or what we see, but we would go by what the Spirit of God would speak. And that we would be able to see and to perceive and to understand, God, the movement of the Spirit of God in this hour, and to be able to discern between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the Antichrist. God, it can only come by you, and we need to be equipped in this hour. So I pray for myself, I pray for my brethren here. Father, as we are crying out that we might discern between good and evil, that you would lead us and speak to us. Yes. God, you see our lives, and you see our lives need to be dedicated, sanctified, and consecrated unto you. There is a place, God, that you work with all those that would humble themselves and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. Father, we want to turn away from darkness in our lives. We want to repent of the darkness in our lives. We do not want to give place to the enemy in which he would want to find that place in which he can find a habitation in the temple of God. My God, we repent, Lord, of our temple not being taken care of. Our temple not being dedicated and sanctified to you. But tonight, God, we want to submit ourselves to you. We want to repent. We want to walk in your ways, Lord. So, God, I pray you receive our offering tonight. The things that we have before you that we need to be changed, Lord. And God, help us so that we have the mind of Christ in this place, in each one of us, so that when we depart from this place this weekend, that we can go in the strength of the Lord, we can go in the Spirit of the Lord, amen, that we can have the ability to be able to process all that your Spirit has poured into us this weekend. We pray that food, that life, that word would not drop to the ground, Lord, that we would not be robbed. So God, help each one of us. Bring your anointing, bring your deliverance to us as a people, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Does anyone else have a word? Amen. So be it, Lord.
Amen.
Faithfulness. Faithfulness. The Lord is calling you to faithfulness.
Amen.
Not just faith, but faithfulness. Faithful to God, faithful to the house of God, faithful to one another. Faithful to the calling that God has given. That's the call of God. Faithfulness. Well, praise the Lord. So be it.